following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, episode 312, coming at you. This time out, we've got a few things I want to get into today. It's some busy stuff going on. I mean, it's, what is this, the second day of February? Groundhog Day, is that what it is? Today the second? Yeah, sure the hell is. Groundhog Day. There is a lot of things that are going on, and that's kind of what we're going to get into today, is the fact that we're just completely surrounded by news. That's really kind of the whole thing. I mean, what I mean by that, I mean, we're always surrounded by news. If you haven't heard it, it's news to you, news being the plural of new. See? I didn't think you'd get out of here without learning something about that now, did you? be that as it is. With it being Groundhog Day, I'm just sitting here looking it up. Groundhog Day is such a joke. It's ridiculous. The story is, if he sees his shadow, there's 6 more weeks of winter. Dig this. There's 6 more weeks of winter from here to was it March 21st or something? Maybe with the leap year, I guess it's the 22nd of March, I guess it would be. Or the 20, I don't know what it is. He came out this morning, air Gobbler's Knob in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and did not see his shadow, which they say here means an early spring. They don't give you the date of an early spring because there's still 6 more weeks of winter. That's the running gag. It's nothing more than just the ability to have a party. That's kind of how that is. It's silly, be that as it may. It has no bearing in fact or anything like that. I know PETA is a little put out about it. They want a robotic groundhog. It's not going to happen. I mean, whatever the case may be. But but that's just part of it. Nobody really puts any credence into this sort of thing. Now, having said that there's an early spring here in Memphis, Tennessee, right? The high today, 70 degrees on the 2nd of February. Ain't that something? I don't know if it's a record. It may very well be. It's pretty stinking warm. Tonight, 51. Tomorrow, 68. You know, and may see some rain come later in the week with the dropping of the temperatures, as happens. Climate change in full force here. It's been a warm winter here. We haven't had any real snow to speak of, and it's, you know, like 70 degrees in the second day of February. It's usually the coldest time of the year here. Now it's turned out to be one of the more warmer times, which bodes an interesting thought of what it's going to be like this summer. It's going to be hot. Oh, Lord, it's hot. I've said it for years. Summertime in Memphis is mighty special. you can sit there and stew in your own gravy. Yeah. Well, all right, but that's enough of that business. We'll pause. We'll come back. We'll get into Headline Whiplash. That's the title of this episode. And boy, howdy, we're gonna get into it and explain a little bit about what's going on and the impact that it has on everybody. Yeah, it's the news. We've got more of it. It's coming up next right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company, Ancient Burial Mounds, Yellow Fever, Maritime Disasters, Victorian murders and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
There's a conversation starter that happens with people. Hey, did you hear the news? Did you see the news? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And most often the answer is, yes, I have. The reason being is we're all connected. We're all connected with our devices primarily. You can't escape it. It's on every, if you're especially like if you're in a bar, somebody's either staring at their phone or watching the television, and there is stuff. It's happening. You hear about these things. Breaking news. Everything is breaking news. Television news, that's their hook, if you notice. At the very beginning of their newscast, We have breaking news every day. Every newscast has breaking news. And it's become such a tired trope, really, because if you haven't heard, why, it's still news to you, right? And they'll come up with anything to make sure that they have breaking news. And it's silly. It's dumb. It's pointless because we're so, all of us as a society have become desensitized to it. Have you noticed? You may not be, but you can get a taste of that, what that's like, if you spend any time away from your news sources. And that includes social media, of course, and the television. If you were able to somehow put the phone down for a few days, which some people do, and rightfully so, they should be able to do that. Everybody should do that, especially when you're on vacation. You know, vacation, it's what you're getting a vacation from. You're getting a break from all of that stuff. And then when you come back, and you come back to reality, you come back into the world as you know it, and you start catching up with everything that's going on, you realize at that point just how desensitized we have become as a society. And as a result of this, the desensitization of it, you become so numb to it that nothing shocks you, nothing surprises you. That's like you go back to the TV news thing, breaking news. It's always breaking news. Come on, what makes you so special? And it's not a matter of being special. It's the fact that everybody is trying to outdo each other with the latest and greatest of information because everybody wants to be the first. That has always been the case since the time of the birth of newspapers. That has always been the case, that we have to be the first. And now when you have a situation where something is big and it's happening, the people that want to be the first will often roll the dice with the facts, and that's not a good thing, as you very well may know, and hence the birth of, you said it, false news, fake news. It's a thing. I'm looking at a headline right now from the New York Times. The New York Times is pretty good about starting panicky headlines. They do that. They get your attention. Here's the headline I'm looking at. Wuhan coronavirus looks increasingly like a pandemic, comma, experts say. Well, that's going to drive you to click on it or read the story. That's sort of the point, isn't it? Is it a pandemic? We're constantly under a pandemic. I was talking about this with LJ on the air this past week, because we devote a part of our program doing what we call the news, which is all the real heavy stuff, and we just touch on it real briefly. And the Wuhan coronavirus, which we lovingly call the Wu-Tang virus, is, yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, people are getting sick. People are dying. It happens. There are, I don't know, as of this recording on this Sunday, this Groundhog Day, there were some 10,000 cases reported globally, most of them in China, of course. And there's a few hundred deaths out of it. I'd say, 350, 400, something like that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I take it for what it is. I think I'm coming down with it now. The point of the matter is, and I use this as a good example here, because that's the shiny new thing in news. Everybody's talking about the coronavirus, which, first of all, let's get something straight. Coronavirus is a type of virus that has been around since the dawn of time. It hasn't gone anywhere. And if you look on the back of a can of Lysol, it says that it'll kill the coronavirus. Okay, so it's a thing. I mean, it's there. It's a class of virus. The Wuhan, which actually had, this thing has a name. I think it's 2019 CRVB or something like that. It's got its chemical designation or what its official government name. This thing, with that headline, that it increasingly looks like a pandemic. Let's keep in mind something, that in the year 2019, okay, the year 2019, last year, 33 days ago, when it ended, there were over 9,000 deaths from the flu. 9,000 people globally died from the flu in 2019. So far, we're up to a few hundred. with the Wu-Tang virus. And it doesn't have that high of a mortality rate. It's like any other virus. Those that have a compromised immune system are susceptible to some real trouble, which includes the elderly and children. And they are synthesizing this thing. They're going to come up with a vaccine for it. It'll be great. That's all well and good. Are they going to be able to stop it? Probably not. Are they going to be able to protect yourself from it next time it comes back around? Probably so. Is it as deadly as the regular flu? So far, not really. But it's causing panic, and that's what is going on here. Nobody talks about the regular flu. You know, there's what a dozen or so or more different strains of the flu that go around. Those of you that get the flu shot know what I'm talking about. You get a cocktail of three strains of flu that the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organizations predict will be the prevalent strain of the flu virus that goes around. So that's a crapshoot, you know. And really, here's the problem with this. The flu shot only lasts about 90 days. My sister has the flu down in Texas. And my father was telling me about this. She even got the flu shot and everything. And I said, well, you know, when did she get it? Well, about 4 months ago. Well, there's your problem. it doesn't really matter. She'll be feeling fine. She went to the doctor. They probably gave her a shot in her ass and told her to stay in bed and watch soap operas. And that's exactly what she's doing. So that'll be all well and good. There is so much bad information that is going on with this thing that has been going on since December, the Wuhan. There's another headline. First person outside of mainland China dies of Wuhan coronavirus. So, I mean, so that there is that. But then on top of this, you've got other false stuff that is going around. There's another headline. This is from Great Britain. Coronavirus-related xenophobia is spreading. Uh-huh. There's racism that's being tied to this. It's crazy what is going on out there and what people are saying, what people are doing, and the panic that is going on. We're cutting off the traffic. We don't want people coming in from China. What did I see? There was a $186 flight, no joke, one way ticket, $186 flight from Hong Kong to New York. It has a 7-hour stopover in Wuhan, in the Hubei province. And the reason why it's so cheap, ain't nobody getting on that plane. Now, look, do you want to catch it? No, you don't want it. It's going to make you feel really crummy. It's a respiratory illness. This can turn directly into pneumonia. It's sort of related to pneumonia. It can be a problem. As I mentioned, for those of you with compromised immune systems, really should probably avoid it. But there again, you should probably avoid a lot of things. And most of you that know that you have that set up are pretty much going to stay home. You know, you're going to wash your hands a lot. You're going to do what it is to protect yourself from it. And then everything else. Will a mask do you any favors? Probably. Probably will. It'll probably help you out. The Asians have been wearing masks in public just out of politeness to keep everybody else from getting what you may or may not have. If you want it to be a proper mask, you're not going to be able to breathe through it very well. And then you've got people that are, they take these water bottles. I'm talking like a big giant water bottle. And they cut the bottom out of it, and they stick their head in there. They're walking around with these water bottles on their head. Here's what else they do. They take the lid off the top so they can breathe. Well, that sort of defeats the purpose of having the goddamn thing on your head anyway, right? And it's because of the panic. It's because of the news that we are so exposed to day in and day out. It is seriously a case of headline whiplash. One moment you see something and you go, okay, this is happening. The next you see a related story of it. Oh my God, that's happening. We're all going to die. I don't think that's the case at all. Clearly there's going to be issues and clearly you need to take care of yourselves. But there at the same time, there's so much stuff that is being just rammed down everybody's throat all the damn time. And what do you do to deal with it? Well, first of all, don't panic. That's the number one thing. No matter what it is. I mean, another big story, the impeachment trial that is happening in the Senate. Everybody has their opinions on this. Everybody believes what they're going to believe about this whole sort of thing. And ain't nothing going to change in regards to the only thing that's going to change is what happens. Right. What are the facts as we know it? You're going to have people that are going to say one thing on one side. You got the other people on the other side and they're saying their thing. You got the offense. You got the defense. Right. That's kind of how it is. And in all this fight and all this other stuff. Does it have any bearing on us day to day? Nah, not at all. Most of what we find out in the news is the same way. You know what affects you is when, say, I don't know, the price of gasoline starts to skyrocket or not. It may be plummeting, apparently, because the one of the big stock traders, the TV CNBC stock traders, one of the big guys that's been doing it, he said that petroleum stocks are dead to him now. Which that carries a bit of weight, because if he's saying that, and a lot of people that trust this guy are going to say, well, I'm going to sell off my stock in petroleum. Well, what's going to happen? Price of gas is going to drop. Well, we've already known that's going to happen because now electric vehicles are becoming a thing and blah, 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 blah. You can go on and on. You can take any topic and you can find every kind of story, whether it's legitimate fact-based information or the exact opposite, which is supposition. Okay, it's this is what people are saying without any real facts to back that up. And because of that, that's where you get all this fake news, because there are people that put out fake news and they do this dressed up in what seems to be facts. But they're not. There's no basis of fact in a lot of stuff that you see. Thankfully, you've got other sources. Unless you're one of those people that sit around in social media and look at it and you realize, well, okay, this is what's happening. I'm going to react to it in this particular way because they're telling me I need to panic, or they're telling me this is silly. No, none of this matters. So where does this leave you as a citizen, right? What do you do? How do you get your information, right? Well, newspapers have their points, right? Newspapers have their thing, which is weird. The reason why they're going out of print is because of the digital world that we live in. But why is that? Why couldn't they keep up? Because there's a few that have. The Washington Post being one, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the LA Times, the big papers, the ones that have been around for so long. How is it that they are surviving? First of all, for the most part, they're sticking with the facts. They're not out there inflating stuff. And the New York Times headline here is that they're saying, well, it looks increasingly like a pandemic. That's an alarming headline, for sure. Is it necessary? No, it's not necessary. But I like how experts say. So you have to look at it. But it's with anything else, and I've told you this before. The best way to find the truth of any particular subject that is out there, and you have the ability to do this, it's all right there in the palm of your hand, literally, is you read as much as you can from all the different sources, and then you've got to consider the source. Somewhere along the lines where you got one side, then you got another side. Somewhere in the middle is going to be about where all the facts are hanging around. And they may be buried because they're trying to get the readers, get the clicks, get the likes, get the shares, get the engagement. But you as a citizen are just interested in going like, I need to know about the Wu-Tang virus. So I'm going to hop onto the internet and I'm going to search it. And then you'll be inundated with stories about it. And after about a 7 or 8, maybe a dozen or so of these stories that you've read through, pardon, with all various different points of view and opinion, some fact-based, most of them not, somewhere along the way, you'll find out what the real truth of the nugget is. And there's pages upon pages on pages of stories about this. But at the same time, once you get down to it, you realize it's all distilled to about a couple of paragraphs of information that's actually going to be beneficial to you. You're going to find out what it is exactly that you were looking for. Same thing with the impeachment trial that's going on in Washington, D.C. You want to talk about something that's polarizing. Man, there's the left and then there's the right. And there's somewhere in the middle, maybe, you have your own opinion on this. And so I laugh at people that put out their opinions on social media about, this, that, or the other, whatever side they're on. Do they really think they're going to convince anybody to change their mind? Because I don't think ever in the history of Facebook somebody's read a post and went, I think that guy's got a point. I think I'm going to change my opinion based on what some hump who's clearly not an expert in constitutional law or the political theater has any business talking about this sort of thing. He's just venting his spleen, his opinion on this. And then you're going to sit there and go, oh, that guy's a complete douchebag. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Or he's going to go, yeah, that's my man. You say exactly what I believe in. And because of that very notion, you say something that somebody else believes in determines, Okay, it determines the viability of that news. It becomes a buffet. It becomes a cherry-picking point. Somebody might say they watch Fox News all the time because they agree with Fox News is telling you. They won't watch anything else because they don't want to be disagreeing with anything. Other people will say, well, I watch CNN because I agree with them. Well, somewhere out there, you have your BBCs of the world, the British Broadcasting Corporation, or whatever they call it. You have the guys at Radio Memphis, Feature Story News. They're outsiders telling you what's going on here in your own world, but they do it in a more unbiased way. Is there truly a middle-of-the-road type thing? No, it's hard to do that. It's almost impossible. However, having said that, you can discern for yourself an educated look at it. You should read news from various other sources that you disagree with so you know what it is that's going on. How do you argue a particular point if you don't know what side they're coming from, right? Well, with all of this information that is unfiltered, which is really how the internet should be, and I know that's you take the good with the bad with this, and the bad is you're going to get flooded with unfiltered news based on everything from the coronavirus, the Wuhan thing. You got the basic idea of what's happening. What's the Centers for Disease Control saying? What's the World Health Organization saying? And then you've got the other end of the spectrum, which is, you know, what does certain politicians have to say about it? Or what are certain governments saying about it? And should I panic or should I not panic? And they're not quoting doctors. They'll say, oh, you know, so-and-so used to be a virologist for some hospital at one point. He's now retired. He's looking at it and he's saying, I think it's time we all, pack our bags and encase ourselves in spacesuits and we'll be okay. And it's just simply for the point of getting views. That's all that is. So determining what you're going to want to learn about a particular thing is up to you to sort out. No one's going to do it for you. You know, it's like when you see, I go back to Facebook. I love picking on Facebook because they're just so ludicrous over there. You know, what I saw yesterday, somebody, I forget who it was. Dan Haggerty. They had posted a story about Dan Haggerty being dead. Oh, he died. Oh, he was so wholesome. Oh, I love Grizzly Adams. He was such a wholesome man. Blah, 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 blah. And I chimed in. I said, yeah, he's been dead since 2016. He's been dead for 4 years now. You just figured this out? Where were you? And as far as his wholesomeness, Dan Haggerty was a major fan what's the guy that had the whorehouse out there in Vegas that they did the Bunny Ranch? He was a regular at the Bunny Ranch. Wholesome. He may be a wholesome, decent guy, but that's what he does with his stuff, you know, when he's not out in public. It's up to him. Don't project things onto people. You'll always be disappointed. But how do you go through life not realizing that somebody is dead? You know, if you're that big of a fan, you'd already know. And it's what it is. And it's just people live in their little isolated bubble and they just cherry pick what they see and they go, oh, look, oh, so-and-so died. Dude, he's been dead for 4 years. You know, it's, come on, keep up, pay attention. There's no excuse for that. Am I being harsh about it? Yeah, I'm being very harsh. The reason being is that willful ignorance is another byproduct of this headline whiplash, because people get inundated with all of this stuff and they may not agree with it and they're just going to shut it off and say, that's it, no more. And then when you give them information, you give them some news, they turn around and they go, oh, if it doesn't agree with them, and they're going to sit there flat out tell you that that you're wrong. Well, how am I wrong if this is what, if I've got, 30 different sources that are all saying, in essence, the same thing? How is this wrong? It's like the argument with climate change. It's February 2nd in Memphis. It's 70 degrees here. As long as I've lived here, it's never been this warm. It's been a warm winter. I can basically tell you with some certainty that I'm sure climate change has something to do with this. And then there's all these people that are the climate change deniers. They go, oh, no, it's bullshit. It's all cyclic. We've dealt with this for eons. No. And there's a lot of science that backs it up. About 99% of science, of the science community, backs this up with facts. And then you got the one guy with the one report, the one sheet of paper, and he may have been paid off by somebody. He goes, according to my records, no. there is no such thing as human-derived climate change. And then everybody gloms onto that because, wow, there's the fact. It's a conspiracy. That's a whole other thing. Headline whiplash often creates conspiracy theories, and they get worse and worse and worse. And there's no arguing against a conspiracy theorist because they have all the facts. You know, an astronaut can sit down with the flat earther and try and tell him that the earth is in fact spherical because, you know, he's been there and he's looked at it. As opposed to a flat earther who is going to sit there and tell you that he knows unequivocally that the earth is flat, and he's going to come up with whatever excuse you get. Well, you're looking at the earth through a fisheye lens, so it's going to look like it's round, and we know that it's... And when you hit him with all the science and the physics and the math and the real science behind that, they're going to say that's all part of the conspiracy. And it's just, it's insane. And now it permeates all this unfiltered news. And then there are, you know, other people of an older demographic who will sit there and tell you that, yeah, Rick, you're right. There's just too much of it out there. And it should be the way it was back when Walter Cronkite was doing the CBS Evening News or the NBC Evening News with Tom Brokaw and all them. And it's like, you know, we should have it the way it always been. Look, man, you know, there was a time when journalism was an absolute noble profession. And for a lot of cases, it still truly is. But there's also the business of journalism, and the business of journalism is dealt with inflammatory headlines. It's dealt with engagement and clicks and looks and likes and shares and blah, 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 and comments. Oh, you want to have some fun? Go to a political website that tries to be kind of down the middle and look at the comment section of any news article. Lord have mercy, talk about toxicity. Hop on Twitter and search. Do a hashtag search for impeachment and watch what happens and what people are saying. It's insane on just how far on either end of the spectrum this really goes. There's not much in the middle of that. The Wuhan virus actually created a lot of jokes because it was a problem for the Mexican beer company. Corona had a problem because people were searching for coronavirus and they were spelling it in two separate words. So what happened? Memes were starting to pop up where it was a bottle of Corona beer and next to it was a wedge of lime. And they said, Corona virus goes well with Lyme disease. Clever. I get it. It's cute. Somebody with a little too much extra time on their hands was having some fun at this expense. But it's stuff like that that kind of dumbs down the issue that maybe there's really nothing to worry about with this thing. Of course there's something to worry about. Is it as deadly as the flu? Clearly not now it isn't. Now could it get out of hand? Maybe. Are there experts working on this? Of course there are. It's their job. You have to put your faith in something, right? So the idea here is that wherever it is that you get your news, wherever it is that you're going, it has to have some type of an internal filter, not an external filter, in that the internet should not filter it. Now, I don't know how you're going to stop that. Now, Zuckerberg over there at Facebook has said that they're going to go through, they're still trying this. They're trying to stop fake news. I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know what algorithm they think they can come up with that's going to determine whether or not something is fake. It's going to take actual human eyes, people with a brain, to sit down and be reasonable about what something looks like. Well, this looks real to me, then yeah, we're going to pass that on. Or this looks fake, then no, we're not. And how do you make that determination? And I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. I don't know that we need an answer for that. I think what has to happen is that people need to be conscious of their own abilities to do it. That's like this whole thing about you shouldn't have this on the internet because, you know, there could be children. Ain't my job to raise your goddamn kids. You should, you know, raise your own children. You should monitor what they're looking at. You know, you don't need to be watching that. Let's look at something else. You know, let's do, you know, we don't need to be looking at that. You can get filters. They're all out there. Nevertheless, do you want your children to grow up in a world where they have to battle getting information? Come on. Information and education are one and the same. Willful ignorance is a big part of that problem. And it shouldn't exist, but it does. Well, I just don't agree with that. I just don't blah, 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 blah. It's like the people that don't like what's going on in Washington, D.C. And they realize that the horse that they were backing is a complete loser. So what happens there? What do they do? How do they back away from something that they thoroughly believed in was the real deal, but it turned out wasn't? How do they back out of that? Simple. They all tell you, oh, every one of them should be blown out. Everybody in Washington should be impeached. Everybody should be gone. We should start all over. Okay, I get it. There's maybe some merit to that, but at the same time, you're not admitting the problem. You're not dealing with the problem. Educate yourselves. Being stupid, I know you can't really help. If you're stupid, you're stupid. That's just the way it goes. If you're ignorant, you can help. You can do something about your own ignorance. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. I don't understand everything that's going on with the Wuhan virus. I read a lot about it. I'm not particularly paranoid about it. There's nothing to be paranoid about. And I'm a bit of a germaphobe. But still, this, really? Uh-huh. Don't wash your hands. Quit coughing on people. If you're going to sneeze, sneeze into the inside of your elbow. Do that. If you would, please, that'd be nice. It's, you know, and don't spread false information, no matter how much you agree with it. That's a good point of view as well. And that'll help with the whiplash, I'm thinking.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
It is sort of amusing to hear the word exclusivity or being exclusive. Like, you know, like we were talking about last week with the news that, you know, this is breaking news. We have the exclusive scoop. We have everything. We're the ones that's exclusive. It's silly. It's dumb. It's almost impossible. It's like trying to lie on the internet. No one's gonna believe you. And B, there's too much information to debunk everything that you say out there. It's silly, it's dumb, it's stupid. You go through Facebook and it's everybody that puts up these cute little memes and GIFs and videos and all this stuff, and they're all laughing their ass off. They think it's kind of cute. I saw all that shit probably about 2 weeks ago on Reddit. Nobody gives, and they go, Reddit, what's that? Well, that's it's another, and you're sitting, I'd tell you, but you know, if you haven't figured it out by now, there's no sense in you getting involved, seriously, because that's really kind of where I like to hang.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or tune in. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
There you go, kids. That's what's coming up next time on the program here at from Radioland. We appreciate you, all of you who get this show wherever it is that you get it. We're available pretty much everywhere where podcasts are had. It's just that simple. You know, find the RSS and away you go. You know, and I haven't mentioned it before, but I have a Blogspot page. A what? I have a Blogspot page. It's at Blogger. You can find it by going to blogger.com/Rick Cheddar, and you can see for yourself what all is there. Did I say that right? Did I even get anywhere near that? I don't know that I did. It shows you how much I pay attention. Yeah, rickcheddar.blogspot.com. I had it backwards. Shows you how much I'm paying attention. That's, God, can we be any more connected? Oh, we don't use Snapchat anymore. We're all up in the Instagram. Or we use this, use that. We don't. It's exhausting. It really is. Well, if you're not connected to this, then you ain't nothing. You're just a loser. Maybe that's the case. Hey, kids, tonight at Radio Memphis. Wait, let me back up. We'll get to that in a second. I hear there's a big football game on tonight, right? It's the Super Bowl. Yes, it's who's playing in this thing? San Francisco and Kansas City. Yeah. See, once again, shows you what I pay attention to. I could give a shit, really. I don't. You know, what was it somebody had said, and I kind of agree with it. I hope both teams lose. I really just don't care. Well, what about the commercials, Rick? You like watching all the commercials, don't you? I do. I'm amused. I keep a close eye on how advertisement works, and such as this, that's the line of work I'm in, sort of. But I've seen them all. Yes, they're all out there. It's, you know, there's, it's, you can, you doesn't take, in fact, I have a TiVo system here at the house. The wife and I, because we cut the cable, right? And we got a TiVo. We got our own DVR. We own it. It's ours, goddammit. You hook an antenna to it, and away you go. They announced a thing on there that, because the wife didn't know what she was going to be doing. She wanted to be late watching the game. She's not, you know, going to be on time watching it probably. So she's taping it, right? And they have a feature on this thing. It's really kind of interesting. That says that there's a thing called game skip, which means you can tape the thing and then you can, because they have another on some shows, you can skip the commercials and go from, you know, from bit to bit, you know, and watch your show in essence uninterrupted. But they've got game skip, which means that once you start the game, you can hit the skip button. It goes straight to the commercials. How about that? That should tell you. All right. So anyway, all that's going on. If that's not your bag, we got stuff happening at Radio Memphis. Of course, we'll start probably right after the game, but that's kind of how that works because it starts at 8 p.m. Central Time. So it's happening at that time, whether the game's happening or not. So whatever. Tonight, it's actually starting a little bit early, 7:30 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com. It's the Booze and the Blues. Tonight, it's a big night. We've got two acts for you this evening. They're both going to be performing live, and we'll hear some recorded material from them. Coming up in the first part of the show, Sunday Wild with the One-Eyed Jacks. She will be in studio, and we'll be chatting with her and horsing around, playing some music, and just having a big old time. And then coming up in the second half of the program, I believe at about 9:30, somewhere in there, Jonathan Elliston will be he's been dying to get on the show for a long time. We've been dying to have him on. He's a busy cat, and he's usually working on Sunday nights, but because of the big game, he's off, so he's going to be on the air with us tonight at radio-memphis.com for the Booze and Blues. It's the nation's number one top show. How did that happen? I don't know. Who determined it? I have no clue. But it's tonight at 7:30 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com. Tune in on any device. If you're listening to this program on whatever device, you can also get the radio station. Radio-memphis.com tonight at 7:30 p.m. Tune in for that bit of fun. Unpopular thought, Super Bowl sucks. There you go. All right, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Y'all heard what's coming up next time on the program. In the meantime, please be sweet. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? And stay out of the avocados. Stay out of the guacamole. Save some for somebody else. See you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.